Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the SmackDown Review podcast? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I am joined. He's back, everyone. It's Gareth Morgan. Heights of Simon Miller last week, we're back down to earth.
Yeah, it's the, we're calling it on ups and downs. It's the devolution. I got to my final stage of evolution to be Simon Miller. And then I realized it takes a lot of food to sustain that body. So I've gone back down again.
Fair, but this is the SmackDown Review podcast, so we're going to talk all things Blue Brand. But before we get into it, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is you get your podcast from, because we do daily wrestling podcasts. We do wrestling podcasts about Raw, wrestling podcasts about SmackDown, wrestling podcasts about AEW, wrestling podcasts about NXT, wrestling podcasts that are roundtable discussions, wrestling podcasts that are interviews, including one with Nick Aldis that I think is going out sometime today, and wrestling podcasts that are roundup of the weeks, complete with bloody good quizzes on wrestle culture. But this is the SmackDown Review podcast. You've been off for 2 weeks, I assume. You've been keeping up with the Blue Brand.
What have you? No, thought? I don't watch wrestling in my spare time. Phil, you do that now. I have been keeping.
I've been keeping.
Do you know what? Actually, any other show would be a chore because I was trying to keep it right, raw,
yeah,
and I got like halfway through every episode, and I was like, I'm not doing this to myself. But SmackDown, I couldn't not watch. It was It's just there's been a lot of good stuff to get our teeth sunk into, and all the Roman Reigns family drama, just when you think it can't get any better, it just keeps giving us more goodness. I'm very excited to talk about it.
Yep, I know there's a lot of it on this show and it's all so goddamn good. But straight away, Roman Reigns is out first with heavy use of the RomanSucks.wav, which I've got a feeling when crowd comes back, it might be a slightly different reaction from Roman, I'm afraid. I know they really want people to boo him and he's a terrible, terrible human being, but he's just so good at being a terrible human being. I'm intrigued to see what his crowd reactions are actually going to be.
They're the best people, man. That's the way it is.
He calls out the Usos. And Jey Uso immediately is like, hey, Tribal Chief, what up, Boos? And then Roman's like, okay, it's your turn now, and looks over to Jimmy. And Jimmy's like, acknowledge you? Like, I thought I already did that. You remember last year, Hell in a Cell, when you choked me out and forced me to? But anyway, tonight's not about that. Tonight's about becoming the tag team champions. And Roman's just like, well, good luck. You called the shot. Like, I get that. I do that. But when you say you're going to win, win. Go out and get the job done and bring me back the titles. Simple start, and then we go straight into the match, and there's a lot more to come from these three.
Yeah, it was it's always fun starting off with Roman. It's his show. Like, it almost feels like we've said it that many times, it feels weird when somebody else starts this show. You're like, oh, Roman's not going to like that. That's his baby. And it seemed like he was giving a lot more love to Mr. Heyman. I think he's sensing there's kind of a bit of friction there in some parts of his family, and like his allegiances are being wavered elsewhere. And I think with Paul, he's been a bit like, oh, you don't go anywhere, please. Just, I'll butt you up. Get going in the wise man through this. Yeah. Like, okay, hit the music for the cousins. He's like, yes, sir, we'll do. I love that dynamic. It gets stronger each week, but yeah. I love the Jimmy Jay stuff. It's brilliant to see Jimmy kind of look at his brother and Salty wasn't happy with it either.
You know, he hates Roman. Hey, shut up. Salty. Yeah, this ain't going to happen. Yeah. Okay, we're back.
Who'd have thunk it? The little dog does not like the big dog. That's where we're at. That's where we're at with this. So, yeah, like, I like the Jimmy and Jay dynamic right now. I think that's... it's great to see Jimmy look at his brother and just be like, what is going on with you, mate? What have you become like? And yeah. Jay's just torn. I love that. I love this Jay character. Now we're back. We were in the losing streak of main event Jey Uso, but now we're back in just conflicted gray areas Jay. And that's where he's at. Yeah. He operates
it. Playing it so, so well as well. I love it. It's all fantastic. But yeah, the first match is indeed the Mysterios versus the Usos for the tag team championships. I love immediately as well, like Roman Reigns is already taking ownership of the tag team titles if they win. He's like, bring the titles back to me. They're mine. Everything's mine. And he's obviously watching from backstage in his little dressing room because of course he is. Straight away, the Usos single out Rey and just sort of take him out throughout the entire match. He gets the odd hope spot. He kind of throws Jay to the outside, and then there's a great bit where he goes for his like slide out of the ring splash thing that he does, but he slides under the ropes and then he gets caught straight into a Samoan drop onto the commentary desk. Looks absolutely fantastic. Eventually Dominic gets the hot tag. He like dives through the ropes to both of them on the outside, hits a crossbody for a two count, hits a springboard tornado DDT for another two count. And then the Usos get a blind tag sort of as they were fighting on the top rope, and he hits him with a pop-up Samoan drop, sort of double team move. And then Dominic sort of pulls down the top rope, so both of the Usos go toppling over the top rope to the outside. Rey jumps off the apron to hit one of them, but then gets super kicked by Jimmy, and then Jimmy gets back in the ring, super kicks Dom, and as he's going for the big splash, Dominic gets his knees up, and then he rolls him through into this cheeky roll-up. 1, 2, 3, Dominic Mysterio pins Jimmy Uso, but does he? Because they showed it afterwards quite a lot, and Jimmy did have the shoulder up for the two, but the referee was on the other side and he didn't see it. And then straight away after this, we see Roman absolutely livid backstage, and he just says to Heyman, bring him to me now.
He's just
a really good match to start off the show though.
I love this. He's really, I don't know, growing and growing. Like, just when you didn't think he could grow anymore, is this just maniacal villain?
Yeah.
You just bring him to me. It was terrifying. And like, I do like the fact that WWE are finally starting to incorporate the weird finishes where somebody's actually got their elbow or shoulder off the mat and like it still gets counted as a three. Like they thought, oh, there's potential there. Happens enough. Why not use it in a story? So I like that as well. This was brilliant. Like if you just look at the match in itself, the drama outside of it's its own thing. It's a brilliant thing. But the match was just, I want to see a full series of this. Like it feels fresh, even though we've seen Rey Mysterio go up against the Usos a lot in the past. Like if you really think about it, there was that spell, I think, 2014, I want to say, 2014, to like 15, that kind of time. Like I think he was teaming up with Sin Cara or something. I remember they went back and forth, and I feel like it's something we've seen, but now it's got a new coat of paint on it, and they've got the characters have grown so much. Dominic's like another just spanner to throw in that works really. He's working brilliant with both of them. I love that Samoan drop thing, like the reversal from the baseball slide like dive that he normally does. And even Michael Cole's like, I've never seen that before, and he's seen an awful lot, hasn't he? So he put it over as well. I love this great match, and well, if you like it, you're in for a good night.
I know, right? Because we get it again later. More on that in a bit. But yeah, love this. The Usos are just working so well again. Obviously, it's been a while and now they're sort of back, and they are genuinely one of the best tag teams in WWE in the last sort of 10 or 20 years. They're absolutely fantastic. And like if you think back of the amount of fantastic matches they've had over their career, the only problem with the Usos has generally been that they've had limited opponents to face. So that's why we ended up with like the New Day versus the Usos like 20,000 times, which don't get me wrong, is a hell of a match, but you know, you've seen it quite a lot. But like you say, the Usos feeling fresh again. I think the different dynamics of them as a tag team, their different characters within it, like Jay being sort of really hyper aggressive and trying to get his frustrations out on everything that he possibly can, whilst Jimmy's still sort of sticking to that same Uso style, like the little blind tags and things that they do, like they just understand tag team wrestling to a T, and they're bringing it out and showing it and like putting them against the Mysterios, who Rey is just spectacular in everything he does, and obviously Dom's really, really new at this, but still amazing for how new he is at it, and sort of showing him how tag team wrestling is done by putting them against the Usos is just fantastic. Really, really loving this, and yeah, we get to see more of it later on.
Who'd have thought the division would get a nice shot in the arm as soon as you put those belts on the Mysterios? It's almost like it should have 2 months ago.
Crazy. And there is a little bit of a renewed focus on the tag team from last week, which seemed like it was sort of tag team episode special of SmackDown, to this week. They seem to be continuing the renewed efforts to the tag team division. So hopefully we can see some good things to come. But yeah, next up we did have Roman Reigns backstage and the Usos came up and Roman just tore them apart. He first off started by saying, like, what the hell are you doing? You lost to a child. Like, you embarrassed the family. Like, you better go to Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville and, like, fix this now. And then he goes off on one and he's talking about how they're 6-time tag champs who made the WrestleMania show once in like less than a year. Jay, with the Universal Champion, head of the table, tribal chief, like, Jay's managed to close the show and walk out with his head held high. And then he turns and he says, do you understand my position, Jimmy? Except he doesn't turn to Jimmy, does he? He turns to Jay, you asshole, Roman Reigns. And Jay just looks completely deflated and just like, I'm Jay. And then Roman turns to him and says, well, the way things are going, does it even matter? And then walks away. God damn it, he's an asshole.
Like, I don't know what's worse with this, that he genuinely either forgot and then just passed it off as, come on, does it even matter? Like, that's bad in itself. Or is he even worse? Is he just manipulating the situation so much and he's so good an actor in the situation, just going, no, I know what I'm doing here. I'm just going to push the button. Just the right button.
Last week as well, when he was talking to Jay, like, do you really want to go back to being just an Uso? Like, you bastard.
It's just, and you can see it in Jay's face. It's like, it's frustration. It's like, oh, I'll show you. But then equally, it's like, he's got a point.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And just, we've seen Jimmy just acknowledge the man. it's that easy. Oh, I hope he does that anytime soon, though. I want more drama.
Yeah, absolutely. But for the sake of Jay's mental health, do something, Jimmy. Come on. But yeah, this is all fantastic. There's a lot more of this throughout the show, so we'll get into it a bit later on. But God damn it, Roman Reigns, you are not a good human. Not a good person at all. So yeah, next up we had an exclusive interview with Seth Rollins. I mean, of course it's exclusive. You're the only people that ever get to interview these people, WWE. Not that we've got a chip on our shoulder or anything. WWE hate us. So yeah,
Big E doesn't. Sorry, I don't need to sidetrack. Big E doesn't.
We love Big E. So yeah, backstage interview with Kayla Braxton and Seth Rollins, and she's talking about what he did to Cesaro over the last few weeks. And Seth's just looking really sort of smirky and pleased with himself, and it's like, I don't owe you or the WWE universe anything. And Kayla Braxton's like, okay, well, what happens when Cesaro returns to SmackDown? And Seth just kind of looks at her, takes his microphone off and throws it at her and wanders off.
Yeah, I mean, it puts Cesaro over. I was like, Kayla Braxton's on the bandwagon. This is felt like a big, big deal in this interview, even though he wasn't there. It's like, it's fine. Like, I like the attack a couple of weeks ago. Not think I got to speak at that. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, that one. That was, I thought it was well done. We need to see the blow off probably at Hell in a Cell, because I think both. I'm a bit worried for Cesaro coming to SummerSlam. I'm not to go on a massive tangent, but I feel like Seth's either going to end up with Roman or Edge. And I feel like Cesaro's in real danger if Roman gets put up against Brock or Cena or somebody like that. I know we're dreaming really big here, but it's looking like a big show, SummerSlam. But I've got a real bad feeling Cesaro might go missing towards that card. And I think
I don't see where nothing wrong.
Do you know what I mean?
Stretch this Seth Rollins out. Like, surely Hell in a Cell match has to be the blow-off match for this, because they've been doing it for quite a while. And I don't see where Cesaro goes next. There's no logical step that isn't a step down.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. Once you reach the top of the mountain, you get into that main event spot, you either win the belt or you go over to Raw.
Yeah,
I don't want to see him on Raw. He's going to get hurt.
I don't want to see him on Raw at all. So, we'll have to wait and see. I'm liking the Seth Rollins character, though. He's working every week. It's just, crazy sort of mad Seth Rollins.
What did he get on the dripometer this week? The drip?
It wasn't his best, I don't think.
Oh, my God. I go 62%.
I think that's about fair. He's definitely done better. But next up, speaking of the tag team division, Chad Gable walks up to the Street Profits backstage and he says that he's been analysing their tapes and it's obvious that you're down. Like Montez, he's lost at least 6 inches off his frog splash. Angelo, like, his sky high is kind of more like a grounded medium. And it looks like you kind of need some professional management from an Olympian in Chad Gable and the Alpha Academy. Why don't you unleash your inner Alpha? Because Chad Gable, he wants to get the smoke. And the Street Profits are just like, no, hard no, pass. Moving on.
I hate doing this for Chad Gable because he's brilliant as his own thing, but so many Kurt Angle vibes in the best way possible. Like, heel Kurt Angle, like, you guys, you could be as good as me. So here's what we're going to do. And it's great. He's just, I want more of it. I want this every week. Just him trying to recruit people and getting shot down and getting Otis to go and kill them later on. It'd be great.
But yeah, there's good stuff. There's more of this later on as well. So we'll talk about it more as we go along. But next up, we had Jimmy and Jay backstage with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. And the Usos are not happy at all. Like, you see how that went down, talking about the ref finish. And Pearce is like, well, yeah, we did see it, but the ref's decision is final. But like, before he could finish his sentence, Sonya Deville kind of butts in and says, well, yeah, the ref did make a mistake, so we'll review the footage and we will take it under advisement. More to this weird dynamic between Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce. I'm kind of at the point where I just want them to get on with this thing with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville now.
I feel like they've started it a couple of months too early. That's the issue, because it's got to lead to
treading water with it. Like, they're just repeating the exact same thing over and over again, just with different people on the other side of it.
And I feel like we're going to get to a team Sonya versus team Pearce, but the logical place for that to happen is a Survivor Series, but I don't think they're going to keep this going that long. So
SummerSlam probably. To keep this going for that long.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That could be Cesaro, team of the head of team Sonya or something. There you go.
And hey, they've been threatening to get Adam Pearce into a match for a long time now. So maybe they just do Adam Pearce versus Sonya Deville and leave it at that.
That'd be team Sonya all the way there.
Sonya smashes Adam Pearce. Be down with that. So yeah, they're going to take it into advisement and we'll find out more later, because next up we had Carmella versus Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan comes out and Michael Cole immediately says, Liv Morgan goes it alone this week. Doesn't have much of a choice, Michael Cole, does she? I wonder why is that, Michael Cole? Maybe it's because you fired a bloody tag team partner, you stupid WWE.
Horrendous, this wasn't it. Ruby and Alistair, like, just not a mention. Murphy as well. Murphy was technically
Murphy as well. We should probably talk about this quickly just before we get into this match. Yeah. The fact that they have 7 active female competitors on SmackDown now.
It was that thing we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. Like, I think not women's wrestling on SmackDown, like, the total time they've been seen on television hadn't exceeded 10 minutes for months.
Yeah,
and I think it did. Briefly, I think 1 or 2 weeks we got it. I don't know if this week it might have edged closer with the Bianca Bayley segment.
Maybe.
But you got to go maybe. Do you know what I mean?
And this wasn't a long match either.
No. So do better, WWE. Because just either bring some women up or just give them time. Like, they showed it. Carmella and Liv Morgan. I could have watched that for 10 minutes alone. I thought that match was like, it really got, you're going to say now, we're going to go into it. But I thought it was really good for what they had.
Yeah. However, still got issues with this as a thing. We've been asking for ages for storylines that involve the women on the roster that don't involve a championship, because they kind of, at one point in SmackDown last year sometime, they had a decent run of it and they had quite a few little stories intermingled going down the card, and then it kind of just devolved into only the tag champs feud and only the like main women's belt feud, and even that kind of intermingled with itself way too often. So we've been after just storylines that don't necessarily involve a belt. And okay, this is it, I guess. Start of it. But not feeling this at all in the sort of terms that they've put it. Because we had a couple of picture-in-picture interviews before the match. Carmella was doing her entrance. She came out and she said that, you've never seen anyone like me. Like, I'm fire. I'm the most gorgeous woman in all of WWE. When I step in the ring with Liv, you won't be able to take your eyes off me. And I kind of like that. Okay, and then we had Liv Morgan come out and she said, it's so cute that you think you're like the most beautiful woman in WWE. Like, I think you're a 7 at best. I know how to make you a 10 with my boot in your face. When I'm done giving you the Liv Morgan makeover, no one is going to want to watch you because they'll all be watching me. Yeah, this isn't the storyline I was looking for, WWE.
No.
In any way, shape or form, this is the most basic thing you could possibly imagine. The most sort of 20 years ago, bull crap WWE women's storyline that you could possibly think of, rehashed in an age where it's just, let's not have any of this. This all feels so face value rubbish. There's nothing here. I really don't like it.
Yeah, and it's, I think, the criticisms it gets exposed more on SmackDown, because we've had, like you said, last year, we had a good streak there with the Bayley Bianca stuff, the Mandy Sonya stuff, where they meant something. All the feuds meant something. They were based in either competitiveness or genuine personal things, not just, I'm pretty. No, you're not pretty. I'm going to make you pretty with my boot. It's just, don't make me say it, but I think it's time we brush off the karaoke machine and get a real feud started again. Get Lacey Evans in there having a sing off for Naomi. At least that was something. Do you know what I mean? We had a reason behind it. Yeah. It was like, booting me in the face when I was singing.
Yeah, it was new at least. It's not just, you're not pretty. I'm pretty. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Yeah. Hate it. Vince McMahon, let's do a women's storyline. What can it be about? This one thinks she's pretty, but the other one thinks she's not.
Draw one. Do a men's version of this and see how it goes down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Could you hilarious. Just bring Drew McIntyre. I'm a pretty gay. Bobby Lashley comes out going, you're not pretty. I'm going to make my boot go in your face. All right, then
you'll be pretty.
You're like, what? Stupid.
So bad. So bad. Base level crap. Don't like it. The match itself, really, really short, but I thought they put in quite a lot of work into it. You could tell Liv Morgan, obviously, with the whole Ruby Riott thing, like, now kind of is in a position where she really needs to prove herself. Carmella as well hasn't exactly been used a huge amount on TV recently since her big vignettes and return. Like, she had that one storyline and then kind of disappeared into the background. So hopefully at least it's getting them on TV and getting them in a storyline, as bad as that storyline is. Immediately Liv was really, Carmella like slaps Liv really early on, and Liv was really annoyed at that and then started being really aggressive to Carmella, like chucking her to the outside, chucking her into the barricade, smashing her into the ring apron. And then Carmella kind of just got control of the match by kicking her in the face. And then a bit of offense, but the match only lasts about 2 minutes or something like that. Eventually goes into a drop toe hold, which she goes into the code of silence straight afterwards. Liv Morgan taps, and then Carmella afterwards tells Greg Hamilton to announce her as the most beautiful woman in WWE. We were looking for more women's storylines, but this ain't it.
Yeah, they've combined this horrendous storyline now with a terrible Shane McMahon trope as well.
Yes.
Call me the best in the world. Just no, doesn't work. It's not the right heat that you need. And in terms of them both getting better really quickly, because they have both got both of these women have just, like, over the last couple of weeks, months, when we've seen them on SmackDown, they're getting better and really putting the work in. It's showing. But you're never going to be trusted to do these like 10 plus minute matches, like, in the eyes of somebody like Vince McMahon, unless you're doing them, unless you're there, unless you're giving them those minutes. What happens when the fans come back and they start touring again and they randomly want just a women's match on tour? Like, they've not probably wrestled longer than 10 minutes, maybe twice this year. It's, I think they set themselves up for a hell of a fall as soon as these fans come back.
Yeah, absolutely. So nothing against Carmella or Liv Morgan. Yeah. The work that they put in the match, like, they tried really hard. They did everything that they could with the time that they were given. Storyline, utter WWE crap. Not into it. Next up, it was Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. They walk up to the Mysterios, who were leaving early. Guys, come on, the show's not even over. They said that they've reviewed the footage, the ref made a mistake, and we're going to have another match later on. And that's our main event.
Yeah, bad example to set to your son, that, right? Come on, let's get out. Come on.
And then it was Bianca Belair coming out, and she's just said that, like, ever since she beat Sasha Banks and won the title, Bayley's been pissed, and all she's done is laugh. And the laugh is actually starting to get to her. But people have been trying to keep her down since she was 3 feet tall, and people kept trying to make her shrink herself to suit their own insecurities, like playing mind games with her, saying, oh, Bianca, like, you're doing too much. Bianca, you're a show off. Or they used to call her mannish because she was muscular and athletic, but then she just left them in the dust when she won trophy after trophy and championship after championship. And she's never sort of had to, like, felt anything for the doubters or the bullies. But no one's actually ever just straight up laughed in her face before. And it's just utter disrespect. And she calls out Bayley, saying that she wants a rematch at Hell in a Cell, and you won't be laughing then. And then this storyline goes really weird, because after a while, you kind of hear a bunch of laughter in the background. And then Bayley appears on the big screen, and she's in a room that just looks like it's been wallpapered with photos of herself as the champion, which I do kind of like. And she says it's like her sanctuary that she comes to, and she's coming live via satellite. And she accepts the rematch and says, like, when I beat you, I won't be the only one laughing. And then she starts laughing. And then the screens in the Thunderdome kind of start to go dark. And then they're slowly replaced by Bayley's laughing face on every single screen in the Thunderdome, laughing at Bianca Belair. very reminiscent of Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton.
Yeah, we said this on the news, didn't we, that we were very worried that the Fiend was suddenly going to pop into this storyline somehow. Like, it was just, no, none of that. Keep that away from these two women. It's a weird one, this, because I feel like every time it's edging towards being what you want it to be, just I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. I was like the longest reigning champion ever. No, but I'm the new kid on the block. It's like, that's great. That's what I want. Every time it seems to be tiptoeing towards that, Bailey starts laughing. that's pretty much what the program is right now. And then, like, don't get me wrong, I think it probably did what it needed to do because it was annoying and weird. And I think Bailey's trying to be annoying and weird, maybe to throw off Bianca. And that's okay. I get that. But it pierces the hole that is the Thunderdome. Like, you do, like, we're trying to, I know none of us do, but they're trying to make it be a thing where it's like, oh, you believe the fan noise.
Like you forget a little bit.
Yeah, and then suddenly that happens. You're like, oh, yeah, they're in a building with loads of LED screens. It's like, cool that you can do that, but how the hell do you expect me to believe anything that happens after this? It's just...
Yeah, the whole point of wrestling is to suspend your disbelief and just, like, believe in what's happening in front of you as if it's real, because otherwise it just doesn't work at all. And, yeah, when you pull yourself out of that, and you're kind of forcing people to pull yourself out of that.
It just seems like they've stopped caring now. They're like, oh, fans going back. Yeah, YOLO.
Yeah, just do whatever. Let's use these screens while we've got them. This very much feels like, we've got these screens and we're not going to have them for much longer. What can we do with them? Let's put Bailey's face all over them. It just didn't land for me, this, at all. This storyline, like you said it on the news as well, like when they started doing the thing about the hair, like, okay, that's something that you can latch onto. Like, Bailey thinks that she's cheating for using her hair, and she has used it in the big match against Sasha and the big match against Bailey. Like, that's something that you can latch onto and a little bit of a story nugget that you can run with. And then they just turn it back to just Bailey laughing. And that's kind of it. And it's like, yeah, she's trying to play the mind games, but at the end of the day, all it is Bailey laughing. And it doesn't feel like it goes much deeper than that, even though I think WWE are trying to make it out like it does.
Do you know what saves this? What salvages this feud? If they bring Extreme Rules forward, so it happens before Hell in a Cell, and they have a big blow-off match, and they destroy the Thunderdome. And do you know what it's called? Do you know what kind of match it is? An X-Screen Rules match.
Hey.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Sitting on that for a while, so.
I do hope someone does destroy the Thunderdome, though, when they leave.
Oh, it has to.
Speaking of that, because, you know, when, like historically, whenever WWE would change sets and things like that, like, someone has to go through the set, or, like, something has to happen to the old set. Like, what? They need to do something to the Thunderdome where you just see it all sort of collapse in on itself, like a big set of dominoes going around. That'd be pretty cool.
They've had little teasers of it, haven't they, over the last couple of months where they've smashed certain bits. But just have an all-out brawl, have a 10-on-10 match and just batter it. That'd be great.
But yeah, not feeling Bailey versus Bianca as a feud as much as I want to. I don't know. They just... Everything there seems really, really simple with the Bianca Belair situation as the champ. They had it with Sasha. It should have just been Boss versus the EST. It's kind of easy. Who is best? This one, Bianca Belair. She's this amazing, athletic, like, charismatic babyface going up against Bailey, cocky heel, like, who has been the longest reigning women's champion. It should be quite simply proving that Bianca is the best and proving why she has that championship and putting her over as the best in the division as the champion. And I don't think any of it has actually put over Bianca. Like, she's got herself over through it just by being so goddamn likable. But everything else feels like it's kind of going against her at this point.
Yeah, no doubt it's going to be a good match, though. And that's the frustrating thing with this. And I feel like we say that every single month. It's like, terrible program, but the match will be good. It's just...
Once you get WWE out the way and actually let performers perform, it turns out quite well. But they should just do that more often.
I can't wait for fans to come back and just, like, just as a really quick thing, like, when you come back, if, like, any American fans out there, when they get back on the road, just boo when it's bad. Just get it. So we'll get it. It'll go.
Be
hopefully it'll
really
disappear.
Be honest with your reactions to absolutely everything and give them hell when they need to be given hell. Because it's something that's been sorely missing in WWE is that utter defiance of the fans to go along with their bull crap. And yeah, that's what we need.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So next up, it was the Street Profits, and they were backstage again, and Otis was pacing around in front of them, and he goes up to them and he's like, "Ah, Chad just tries to help you and you mock him, like, you need to apologize right now." And Angelo Dawkins is like, we don't owe you or like anyone else an apology. And then they say that, like, Chad's just holding you back, and like, what have you accomplished since you've joined with him? I think you need to like check out the academy, get your money back. And Otis is not happy with this and punches them in the face and wanders off.
I like this. I like just the idea of Chad Gable just getting annoyed with people and then like ramping up Otis in the background, yeah. And then just letting him loose. Otis plays that part really well. Just a bull in a china shop, really. Yep. And this was, yeah, it was very good stuff. It was a hell of a slap.
Yeah. And like was said with other things, it's a storyline that doesn't involve the championships within a division that sorely needs expansion. So can't be too sad about all this.
Yeah, it just makes sense. Have these two feud, then whoever wins goes on to the champion. Like it can just be that easy sometimes.
It can. It's quite simple. Next up, Boogs. You've been away for all of Boogs. I've got to get your thoughts. What do you think?
Oh, I'm a. Do you know how big a fan I am of Boogs? I put a tweet out the other week, I think, now saying I changed it to my ringtone. I have genuinely changed that initial arrival of Boogs, and that woke me up this morning. It was great. It's so good. Again, it's just it shouldn't work because it's
really shouldn't.
The thing, like, just that he's playing his guitar to that, like, that's the thing I've so sorely missed is somebody doing a live version of Shinsuke Nakamura's theme. Like, yeah, when they did it with the violins, the guitar. Really good. The guitar won at WrestleMania 35, and I sound like 34, sorry, and I sound really sad here. It makes me tear up whenever I watch it because it's just so just what I love, the theatricality of wrestling and just the fans being like, yeah, being on board with it. It just, it makes me feel good. So whenever I hear that now, like a live arrangement of it, I'm on board. You can do whatever you want with him. You can have him do this stupid King nonsense for a while. That's fine. Just have Boogs coming out, screaming every week. It's getting Boogs on SmackDown, man. This is great. I'm loving it. Loving life.
Fantastic. And yes, speaking of stupid King nonsense, it was him versus Baron Corbin once again for, I guess, all of these matches are just for ownership of the crown now. That's a thing.
Pat McAfee's having a tournament. Excited, hey, who needs a tournament?
Pat McAfee's very excited about all of this anyway, though. But yeah, it was another short match from these two. It's pretty much the same match we've seen for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Corbin took out Boogs on the outside with a bit of a clothesline, balls back in. Shinsuke hit him with a leg sweep, goes for a kick, but Corbin ducks and then he kind of just grabs his head and pulls him backwards onto the mat, gets him with a bit of a roll up. 1, 2, 3. If you're going to do a huge roll up storyline in the first bit, maybe just don't do it here. Let him hit him with a deep six or something. Like anything. He's got good moves, Baron Corbin. Why can't he just use one? And then immediately as he wins, rolls out, he gets the crown. But as he's running off with the crown, Boogs grabs Corbin's legs and then Shinsuke kicks him in the head. Shinsuke gets the crown back. And as he puts it on, they rock out going up the ramp. It's the same thing we've seen for the last 3 weeks, but Boogs saves it somehow.
That's it. And like, look, it ain't going to get a big pay-per-view blow-off. I don't think it is. It feels like a TV feud just because of the way we're having match after match after match. Yeah. I feel like there's probably going to be maybe another match next week and then it'll be done, hopefully.
I mean, by the time we get to the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, they've probably had enough matches to warrant a Hell in a Cell blow-off.
Well, yeah, you make a
put
very
the crown
good
on the top of the cell. First one to get to the crown wins.
I like that. I do like that, actually. But I think it's good for keeping Shinsuke in this babyface gear right now. Don't just suddenly turn him and put him in a tag team with Baron Corbin, which is something you could see them doing. Don't do it. Have him stay with Boogs. My God, when they come out in front of a crowd and Boogs is going, Shinsuke Nakamura! It's going to... Oh, it'll be a party atmosphere in any stadium. Yeah. Easy money. Print the money. Nak just seems like he's getting his mojo back. I like it.
Yeah, he just looks like he's having fun. Like, he doesn't really care. He's just having a bit of fun with it. I kind of hope we get Boogs versus Corbin at the pay-per-view, maybe. Or just Boogs versus Corbin at some point.
You want to see Boogs
I don't know. That's the only issue with this. I've no idea where this is going. Like, they've done the same match for 3 weeks where it's ended with a roll-up and they've just been swapping who wins each time.
You try and think with mid-card heels. Mid-card heels now, it's an odd one because you've got Apollo, but he's kind of, say, upper mid-card.
Yeah.
Baron's almost the gatekeeper, isn't he?
In
right now. And then there's nobody else that springs to mind. Aleister Black would have been good. You know what I mean? He's just there doing... he's not there.
Buddy Murphy, maybe? No.
it's looking very weirdly thin, that mid-card now, outside of the IC title scene. You know what I mean? It's a weird one. It's almost like you shouldn't release talents out of nowhere with no plan.
Almost. Speaking of mid-card heels, though, Commander Aziz was backstage and he ran up to Kevin Owens, took him out, threw some stuff at him, goes for the Nigerian nail, but as he's about to hit him, like, refs pull him off, and then Cruz just walks by pointing and laughing because we are getting Apollo Cruz versus Kevin Owens next. Kevin Owens is selling the ribs straight away there from the injury from the pre-match attack, and that's pretty much the story of the match, just Cruz going after Kevin Owens' ribs as much as he could. But I thought this was a really good match. Kevin Owens was selling it really well. Like, he went for the pop-up power bomb, but like couldn't hit it. Like, he goes to like bounce off the ropes for a dive, but as soon as he hits the ropes, like, the pain in his ribs is too much. Eventually he managed to muster up the courage to hit a swanton bomb, but Apollo Crews gets the knees up and then hits him with a German suplex for a kick out, hits him with a standing moonsault for a kick out, and then he goes up top for the frog splash, but he misses with the frog splash. Kevin Owens super kicks him, hits him with the pop-up power bomb for a two count, and then Apollo goes to the outside, and I really like this as a finish as well because it's something a little bit different, and Apollo Crews loves doing move on the apron. He hits Kevin Owens with a DVD, a Death Valley Driver, on the apron, and then just kind of rolls him back into the ring for the 1-2-3. Really like it as a finish for something a little bit different. Sells the injury to the ribs, and it's just a different move. Like, you don't have to either use your finish or a roll-up to win a match. It's like, oh, there are other things that can end a match. So really, really like this. And then straight away afterwards, may as well get it out now before we talk about the whole thing, Sami Zayn runs in as Apollo Crews is celebrating, hits Kevin Owens with a haluva kick, and just yells at him going, oh, you see what it's like? You're already hurt and someone comes in and makes it worse. That's what you did to me. I didn't kick you. Karma kicked you. And wanders off. Really enjoyed this as a match. And I assume we're building to more Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn stuff. Not sure what happens next for Apollo Crews.
Give me KO and Sami and Hell in a Cell. Do it, you cowards. Please.
Give him 20 minutes in the cell.
That's unfair on the rest of the roster. It's just unfair.
No chance.
Like I just said, this mid-card now, it's suddenly in a very strange situation because I'm quite happy to watch Kevin Owens keep hunting this IC title, and that be a thing for Apollo, gives him like some of the difference to be going out for a bit. But we can't really have Apollo go against Big E again so soon because that's kind of, it's run its course.
And
I don't
Big
think
E's
ever
just lost his feud that they were building to.
That's it.
The Black.
It seemed like we had these. It seemed like we had those clear paths. You know what I mean? We had the Kevin Owen Apollo thing, the Aleister Black Big E thing for a bit. Sami was just going to be Sami. He was keep popping
up
and do whatever he wants.
Kind of, appear anywhere in the midst of all of this, and it kind of makes sense no matter where he is. If he's trying to go after the chat title, it's because it was stolen from him. If he's trying to go after Kevin Owens, it's because he didn't believe in his conspiracy. That's like, he's one of those weird characters that can just fit in wherever.
So fluid, but I think it's maybe he could do a triple threat. Maybe have KO and Sami going for the IC title. That'd be interesting. Then you'd obviously have some moments where Sami's allegiance is suddenly changed to go, hey, remember, man, we were friends, and KO just batters him for it. Like, that'd be fun. That'd be something to Hell in a Cell. But it's what happens to Big E? I know he had nothing to do with any of this, but it's a bit like, oh, he's been just left hanging a bit, and I don't think he deserves it. He's been kicking all the ass. So weird. What a difference a week can make with this division.
Yeah, it is odd. Like, it felt so focused, and there was just so much talent in the division that you just can only see good things from it. Now there's just question marks of where it's going, whether it's just going to rematches or whether something's new. And all it really took was Aleister Black getting fired, obviously, right in the middle of a big push storyline. And it's kind of just thrown everything up in the air. And just, yeah, not entirely sure. And no matter what, the talent is there. The matches are going to kill it. I'm just not sure where
there's talk of people obviously being called up from NXT now out of the blue, just to probably fill places. But I don't know. I wouldn't be overly eager as anyone in NXT right now. Yeah, it leaves me for a week. I've been released. That's great. Yeah, weird one. Weird time.
But yeah, great. A really good match, though, between Apollo Crews and Kevin Owens. I thought really good story with the injured ribs. Kevin Owens sold it really well. Apollo Crews didn't have to use Commander Aziz for the finish, amazingly, which is always good. Used it at the start, but I mean, I'm fine with that. At least it's something different.
Yeah, like you said, the DVD on the hardest part of the ring, that should be used more stuff on the hardest part of the ring. Like, because if it is the hardest part of the ring, you'd probably take advantage. Like, Kevin Owens used to powerbomb the crap out of people consistently. Like, I'm happy for this. And then just there's nothing stopping people just rolling them back in the ring and getting the pin. Like, it's a clever move from Apollo for me. Yeah. I quite like it.
Indeed. And then we had the final entry in the Street Profits story, and they were just backstage on their own this time, no Chad Gable or Otis, and they just said that the only person being disrespectful here is Chad Gable. Like, we just tried to give Otis some advice, he wasn't feeling it, but Otis better stay away and mind his own business, because they're about to send him back to the dump where he belongs, and that the Street Profits are up and they want the smoke. And yeah, this is the bit where you just kind of think to the Street Profits, like, well, Chad Gable was only trying to give you advice as well. Like, wasn't being that disrespectful. And now you were pretty disrespectful to Otis. So it's kind of, you deserve this, guys.
Yeah, it does feel like that baby face thing of, oh, they just disagreed with the heel. But they're the faces. So you better cheer them. No, they were kind of in the wrong with this, but I'm fine.
Kind of assholes.
Yeah, kind of. Well, is it going to teeter towards a heel? No, we don't need a heel turn there. No. Like, let's keep them as the baby faces. But it's typical WWE bullying baby face booking. Yeah. So it doesn't really surprise me. But the matches will be really good. So I don't mind.
And we are going to get that match next week. And it is a renewed focus on the tag team division, which is desperately needed for a very long time. Mm. But we also do need some new teams in there. Just the Usos isn't enough to completely revive it. We need something else.
Again, I don't want to see like all my NXT babies get cherry picked, but there's some crackers down there. There's a hell of a division that they could just get one or two from there. And it'd fill out Raw or SmackDown. Probably prefer SmackDown, but
Absolutely. And then it was time for the main event, and it was the Usos versus the Mysterios again. The Usos completely like exploded out of the gates in the start of this. Going against Dom, they single him out this time, whereas in the first match, they singled out Rey. Eventually, Rey gets the hot tag, and he's running around, and then he's eventually like on Jay's shoulders, and Jimmy gets the blind tag in, goes for the roll-up before kind of Rey just like rolls through it. And then he hits a baseball slide, goes for his slide splash under the ropes this time, but it works this time, hits him, gets a 619 in the ring, tags in Dominic. And as Dominic's going up top to hit him with the frog splash, out of nowhere, Roman comes in, smashes him with a Superman punch, spears Rey while he's shouting to the Usos, like, oh, two times you lose, two times you embarrass our family. And then he throws the tag team champs around all over the place, chucking them into the barricade, smashing them into the steps. He gets the steps and he just smashes Dom in the face with him as he's shouting at Rey, like, what, you're going to let me whoop your son? And then he just immediately hits Rey in the face with the steps, chucks Rey over the barricade into the Thunderdome, and then just utterly beats the crap out of Dom. Not since Brock Lesnar have we seen someone just completely dominate Dominic Mysterio, as the Usos just kind of watch on in disbelief, not having a clue what to do. And then Roman gets him in the guillotine choke, chokes out Dominic to the point where he's passing out. And Jimmy's like, come on, like, that's enough. Like, let him go, man. Like, he's out. Like, let's not do it like this. And he walks out of the ring. And as he's walking out the ring up the rampway, he shouts over to Jay, like, come on, dog, you with me? And Jay kind of looks like he's about to follow him as Roman walks up to him with just this look on his face of just like, oh, he is not a happy chap. And as he's doing that, Jay just kind of cowers down to every whim of Roman Reigns, stays with him in the ring. And Roman just kind of looks back to Dom, starts punching him again, hits him with a massive powerbomb. And yeah, Roman Reigns completely destroying the Mysterios because the Usos are about to lose again.
Yeah, and I quite like the cliffhanger element of this, really, because, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, what's going to happen next thing, but you didn't necessarily see where Jay went, like, as the cameras rolled off.
Yeah, he was still in the ring looking torn, and, like, Roman was still beating the crap out of Dominic as the cameras went off, so it's like...
Phil, he might be still there.
He might still be there.
Safe for space to be. You know
what I mean? Dominic might be dead by now.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's I liked all this, to be honest. Like, it does make me laugh with Michael Cole every time, like, somebody comes in for a sneak attack. He's like, oh, who could this be? I'm like, who do you think that is from behind? Who else looks like Roman Reigns from behind on that roster and wears a Roman Reigns t-shirt? It's like, come on. So, yeah, that in itself was, I got it. I mean, it just shows that Roman just has no faith in his cousins at all. And they could have pulled out a super kick because he went for that frog splash. He didn't know.
He could have got his knees up, could have done something.
No, he was like, nope, it's dumb. Nope, he was on the way down when he was in the 619. He was like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go and do this. So that was hilarious in itself. Dominic, man, you got to stay away from your dad. Bad things happen. The Brock thing.
Really does.
The Seth thing. Remember the Seth with the kendo sticks?
Disappeared.
He got dusted away. Like Murphy, he did it to him as well. And now he's just been obliterated. It's just, this also made me quite selfishly want to see Roman Reigns against Rey Mysterio.
Yes, there it is. I was going to say the same thing.
Man. I said this
last week, that if it somehow builds to a Roman Reigns versus Rey Mysterio match, even if it's like one match on a pay-per-view, one and done, Roman Reigns kicks the crap out of Rey Mysterio, I'd still be really down for seeing that, because Rey's one of those people who just got that will to make you believe, just ultimate babyface, and up against a guy like Roman, I think that'd just be a fantastic mix.
It's a safe call as well, because no one's going to complain if Roman wins. No one's going to complain if Rey wins or lose. It just, everyone wins in that, and they're going to be great matches, and it ain't going to happen. Sorry. I don't think it will, because the WWE will probably just go down a different route, and they've obviously won the tag belts right now. It's its own thing, but it'd be, just the little glimpses we had here. I was like, oh, just give us it once on SmackDown. Yeah. Just once. Give us one little thing. Like, yeah, that'd be great. Dominic could have a good match with him as well. There's so much. We're not even onto the drama of the family stuff like that with Jay. Yeah. Stop killing him. He's already dead. Like, just it was great. Like, that's fantastic that Jimmy's not in a position now where he's bowing straight away.
Yeah. He's still not really doing anything about it. He's not like fighting Roman to get him off Dominic. He's just like, come on, man.
It's like he agreed. He was like, right, all right, I don't mind. But we're still a bit kind of operating in the gray area, but it's a bit awkward. Yeah. It's a kid.
Fully against Roman. Stop.
Like, I like
the look on Jay's face at the end when Roman Reigns, like, he didn't say anything to him. Mm. He just stared a hole through his soul with his madness, and Jay was just completely deflated about it. I just like, oh my god, what do I do?
It would have been the icing on the cake if he literally just went, go on, Jimmy, what are you gonna do?
Like, yeah,
it's Jay.
Oh man.
Hulk up. This is what we want from our weekly television. Like, just a nice little angle at the end where you're like, oh, what's gonna happen next week now? I need to see it again. But not an awful lot has technically happened in the last couple of weeks. It's just Jimmy's come back, he's not acknowledging him. Jay kind of is.
Each time it just kind of ramps up in intensity that little bit And now it's like, oh my god, we must be like either at breaking point or close to breaking point. And then it's just, how much does it take until Jay just snaps and either destroys Jimmy or destroys Roman? Like, it's gonna happen one way or the other.
And the mad thing is, we're like, what, a couple of weeks now, maybe three weeks away from Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
still not clear he's going after that belt. Like, you could see a Jimmy Roman thing, you could see maybe the Usos going for the tag titles again with Roman still being kind of a prick. Cesaro maybe even getting another. It's so open, but it's not open in a way where you're like, oh, there's no direction in this main event. So it's not like NXT right now. It's just the main event's just a cluster fudge.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's like there's just a lot of potential to go in different areas, and every one of them, I feel like right now, is going to satisfy me, which is probably the best compliment you can pay to SmackDown. It's not perfect. Like we said, the women's division, it just needs... They need to apply the same mentality they're applying to the men's division to the women's division. It's that easy. Because if you did it vice versa, everyone would be going crazy right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
The tag division's looking great. Like, I think it is got like maybe a couple more teams added into it just to keep it fresh. Yeah. The main card's not at a point where it's like unfixable. Just needs a little bit more focus. Yeah. I think it's just a bit more question marks of that one
of like, oh, this has happened. Well, what do we do now? But it's definitely fixable.
So as a whole, SmackDown's it's the best show WWE have right now for consistency. And I think a lot of it bodes down to the fact Roman Reigns is your boy at the top. Like, he's just...
It's amazing what just one guy at the top, and then the amount of storylines that's not... It's not even like one guy putting himself over at the expense of everyone else either. Like, every single storyline that he's done, he's elevated people up to his level rather than him going down to other people's levels and like making sure that they're that low on the card. It's everything he's done has built up the show, built up the people surrounding it, even though they've been in losing efforts. I think that everyone's come out the other side a little bit better off having faced Roman Reigns. And just the story itself is just so compelling. And the work from Jey Uso, can't be denied either. He's been absolutely fantastic in his position. And the timing of this all now, coming into Hell in a Cell, when you think back about what happened at Hell in a Cell last year with Jey versus Roman and him choking out Jimmy to make Jey acknowledge him. Like, the timing of this all has come around so perfectly with the switching of the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I kind of want Jimmy versus Roman at Hell in a Cell just as a weird little bookend to this storyline. But then you can't do the same outcome. And what happens? I don't know.
I think you do. Jey as special guest referee. I think that offers up something brilliant, because you could have... There could be a moment where Roman's just... I don't know, choking out Jimmy or spearing him or just being horrible, like to the point where it's excessive. And Jey super kicks him and realizes, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what have I just done? And then you've got that. And then he'll have to try and explain that away. And like, if Roman still comes away with it, there's a lot of story potential there if he did that, went down that route, or at least had Jey involved in a cell or something, or just around. I think there's parallels that you could do without keeping it the exact same outcome. Because I don't want to just see Roman doing a monologue again. And like, it was great first time round, but...
But you can't do the same thing again.
No. I trust them. I really do. They've never let us down at this point when it comes to pay-per-view matches. I can't remember the last bad Roman Reigns pay-per-view match.
Yeah, it'll be well before this run. He's not had a bad match, full stop, in this run at all. Everything's had something, some story that's come out of it that's been fantastic. Or like, they've all been different as well. It's truly like really a fantastic run that he's on at the minute. Like, if you think back to like recent day WWE, it's probably one of the best championship runs in the last 10 years, at least. Like, I can't think of anything better.
Is he going to break the modern world title reign record, you reckon?
I kind of expect it to, because obviously Punk's still got that. So
he's got WWE championship. I think Brock had the universal one.
Did he actually?
I think Brock did it, or he got pretty close. I think he was 400 plus days.
Nah, fair enough. But yeah, I can see if Punk still got that 430 or 400, whatever it was, day run. Yeah, WWE chucking Roman into that just to like, there you go, Punk, you're done. Yeah, like, your one thing, gone.
I won't put it past Roman just putting it on the line in the Royal Rumble and winning the Royal Rumble as well and just stuff like that. Give me more. I never thought we'd say this. We're not getting enough Roman. I want more. More Roman.
Another fantastic episode of SmackDown. Again, mainly because of Roman Reigns. He's just so goddamn good. It's ridiculous. But with a lot of changes that can be made, especially the women's division. I think that even the tag team division has probably overtaken the women's division in terms of quality at this point, which is a sorry state of affairs when you're in WWE and how much they hate tag teams. More focus on the 7 women you have on your roster on SmackDown. Either bring someone up or get more storylines. I don't even know what you can do at this point. And this Carmella, Liv Morgan, sorry, that's not the one. Get rid of that right now. I will be fine if you never mention this again and just move on from it, because I don't want to see any more of that kind of thing.
Karaoke.
That's the way.
That'll do it. That'll kickstart feud after feud after feud. It's all there.
But this was the SmackDown Review Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. If you want, you can chat to us on it about on Twitter about it all. You can follow me at Phil My Chambers, and you can follow Gareth
at GMorgan04.
And you can follow all of us at WhatCultureWWE. Like I say, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcast from, and leave us a 5-star review while you're there to put a smile on Adam Wilborn's face. So yeah, thank you very much for listening, and most importantly, have yourselves a bloody good day.
Bye-bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.